power one. Be a number. Green go margin. Yay!
Welcome back to the fifth episode of Season 2, Jimmy's Army Podcast. Daniel Hernandez here, hosting with my friend Tyler Williams.
Howdy do.
And Cameron Pace.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Just put them down to your side, Ricky Bobby. Just put them down to your side. He'll get used to it being on the podcast with all of us famous people.
This is new. Just call me Eddie Martz.
Okay, Eddie. That's right, weird.
Eddie. Please do.
You're not anything like Eddie.
Better looking.
True. Okay, well, good to have you guys back. We got a lot to go over. First, I want to plug our corporate sponsor. Does that sound official when I say it like that? Our corporate sponsor. Are they really a corporate sponsor?
No, okay. Not really. Yeah, we just come here and drink.
Yeah. Skinny Slims, they host us, though. That's probably plenty enough right there because we're kind of jerks. So thanks to Skinny Slims for having us out.
I don't think they would deny us, though.
No. Well, you don't think so?
No.
We obviously bring people to the bar.
We're buying beers.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, the cheapest beer they have, but whatever.
Gosh, quit telling ourselves.
Hey, I'm drinking quality.
That's true.
It's in a pint glass.
It is in a pint glass.
That means it's quality.
So nobody knows what it is. It could be the best beer there ever was.
Or I could have just poured a Hams out in a glass.
You could have.
Ooh, sneaky.
But they have us out here every week. They got an event coming up. You guys may have heard this. It's called Cinco de Mayo. It's actually not Mexican Independence Day. Everybody gets that wrong.
What day is Cinco de Mayo?
Daniel would know. He's Mexican.
Crap. I failed Spanish class. Wow. It's the 4th? I'm kidding. It's the 5th.
May the 5th of May.
May the 4th be with you. Yes, thank you. Got it. Nailed it. That's a better day than Cinco de Mayo, in my humble opinion.
Star Wars is better than Mexican heritage.
Not a very proud Mexican.
Yeah.
Is what Daniel Hernandez is saying.
Man, you guys know I'm whiter than pretty much all of you guys. Come on now.
Yes, yeah,
you're about
true.
As white as Black Will.
Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Black Will. So thanks to Skinny's for having us out. They do have a Cinco de Mayo event going on, which is Thursday. They'll have nice Mexican beers and friendly wait staff. Except for Haley. So come on out, have a good time, and have some Mexican beers with lime. You guys ready to go?
Wow, did you mean to rhyme on that?
I did.
That was so good.
Snap.
I blacked out.
All right, guys, let's go. Very good. So we got a lot to cover today, guys. We have two games to review, Swope Park in Seattle, and then we get to look forward to a couple of games, Arizona United. Boo.
Oh, yeah, our second hated rivals.
Yes, and the San Antonio Spurs, who are in a battle with multiple OKC teams.
San Antonio Spurs?
Yeah, so we'll San Antonio Spurs FC.
Yeah, something like that. They're the Spurs.
They have the same logo as the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You guys tell me. Do you think they're going to rest Tim Duncan and Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge for the game against us?
They're probably going to play the Admiral in this game.
David Robinson's coming back.
David Robinson's coming out of retirement.
Popovich, he's going to have something up his sleeve.
I agree.
I believe Koenig will actually handle all of those players.
Probably. But guys, they have a lot of foreign players. I mean, Tony Parker's French. Surely he can play some soccer, right?
French people know how to play soccer?
Yeah.
They're kind of good, aren't they?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we'll look forward to Arizona and San Antonio Spurs FC. We'll also look at some rankings, and then finally we'll do our one-ish minute rants.
We're above Tulsa.
Thank goodness. So let's jump right in. So we did play, got our first win of the season against Swope Park Rangers. We're going to switch it up a little bit. We're not going to do good, bad, and ugly. We're going to kind of do some first and second half analysis just to dig into the game a little bit more. So what do you guys have on the first half?
Franchise.
Historic more, yeah. Swope Park.
Yeah, historic Swope Park. But the first half of the match was really kind of a back and forth. It looked like everyone was trying to get their feet wet, get to know each other a little bit better, even though some of them kind of already know each other, like Van Compernol and Christian Duke, as well as John Kempen is very familiar with some of our players that we have. Two different teams, two completely different systems working with now, because everything seemed to have changed since last season and the season before that even more so. That, you know, they kind of tried to get to know each other. But anyways, it seemed that our best chance came pretty early when Michael Thomas, our captain, he slid a pass across the face of the goal, and there was just nobody at the back post to tap it in. It could have been an easy goal, but just nobody was able to get there in time. A few minutes later, Swope Park had another equal opportunity. And it was probably their best chance at the game when it looks like Selbol took the ball down the flank and was able to get in the box. Within the ensuing play, it looked like he missed a shot wide or tried to cross it. I'm going to say he missed a shot wide because he's not that good because he plays for Swope Park. And then he... it just kind of went harmlessly out of play, and that was probably their best chance of the game. Now, that was the first half. Like I said, a lot of back and forth. Not too many chances or scoring opportunities really ensued in that. It was really just more of a get to know each other kind of duel. But the second half actually had a lot more to it. You guys see anything in the first half at all that you guys were interested in?
It was, for me in particular, is more of how Kempen was going to react. Thankfully, in his part, Kempen was away from the supporter section, so he didn't have the vocal negativity right behind him, so he was probably at his best in that half. And it showed, in particular, the second half, like, with us being right behind him, we were on him from the beginning. Kempen was kind of one of those players in my mind that was
definitely
one of our favorites at the time in that first season.
We had Big Kemp and Spin and Cheese, and what else do we have for him? Some big time chance.
Kempen ain't easy,
yeah.
And he was one of those. I mean, he got starts for Sporting Kansas City. Mm-hmm. So
he actually got called up to the U.S. national team.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So he's one of those players, and the fact that he was with us, we loved him dearly. However, with that being said, he was now on the opposing team, and we were gonna give him hell.
Have it. No, regardless, in the first half and the second half, I'll go ahead and say it. He was getting pelted.
Yeah, as he should. He's dead to us.
Well, not just by us, but with shots, and he was making some great saves. He really was making some great saves throughout the entire game, and you know the one that went in. Just happened to be the one that he couldn't get to, which was perfectly fine with me.
Yeah,
I will say this season, our attack going forward out of the back has been one of the best seasons I've seen from us in the three seasons we've had. We communicate really well in our pass through the middle, and even our long balls over the top from Cyprian or MT are all hitting their marks, and our hold-up play in the top is just phenomenal in allowing us to get these shots on goal.
Yeah, are we talking second half yet? Or are we still on first?
We'll move straight into the second half.
Yeah, because, I'm watching the build-up again to the goal in the second half, which occurred in the 78th minute. And, Cam, you're spot on. It came from the back. It came from a lovely long ball from Sip Hedrick and a beautiful touch off the chest to Dogard, who took a ridiculous touch too. I mean, it was just beautiful play out to the wide area, and then put back post where we had really two guys who were wide open. You know, I mean, that's easy money all day. Nobody's marking him.
Did you see who in the back behind us trying to do the bicycle?
The weird scissor kick.
Yeah. I don't know. It was Ryden that scored the goal, but
yeah, Ryden did the right thing. Ryden used his head. I don't know what the scissor kick guy was expecting. We'll see who it is, but yeah. It was a valiant effort.
I think regardless it was going in. Whether Ryden was not there, I think the look of the scissor kick, the overhead kick, bicycle kick, I guess, Like, it looked like he was going to make good contact with that and most likely going to put it right in.
Well, and we'll talk about this. I definitely want to point this out when we talk about the Seattle game, but we saw the return of a certain player to the midfield, and that person really solidified us two games in a row in that area. But, yeah, the build-up play is great. Who's back there? Oh, I think that's Gonzalez.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so your namesake, your boy.
My namesake, yeah. Going for the scissor kick. Oh, no, that was Toth. It was Toth.
Okay. What in
the
world?
Yeah, that guy would try the scissor kick.
Fast,
I love
he's
it.
He's quick.
He's got a big...
Never mind.
Well, anyways.
I digress.
Very, very sick Peter Toth. So, Tyler, I'm watching you go crazy on the front lines. That's the video that the USL used as the one of their promo videos and tagged you in it, bro.
I was definitely into it. Yeah, I will say.
You look like a gyrating monkey.
Thanks.
Welcome. Anyways, what else do you guys have in the second half? That was a compliment.
You know, honestly, our play, our attack really stepped up a lot. Like I said, John Kempen made some fantastic saves. Like the guy for the most part, in my opinion, stood on his head.
Yeah.
And
unfortunate for him, he's got, I think it's Miola in goal for Kansas City, who's been playing lights out as well.
Melia.
Yeah. I forget how to pronounce his name, but he's been doing great. Kempen, I do think, deserves a spot in an MLS team.
Yeah, he's still young, so he'll get his chance at some point.
You guys want to know my favorite part of the goal?
What's
I
that?
Went back when and watched it went the video.
In. You mean Van Compernoel? Are you going to talk about Van Compernoel?
Van
I knew it.
On one knee, just looking disappointed.
What have I done?
Like, I made a mistake.
I instantly regret my decision.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Everyone else, you know, it was, oh.
Yeah, Kempen was super pissed. You could tell he did not want to concede a goal against us.
No. Oh, he was. We were talking bad about him the entire time.
There was times in the game where all his goal kicks went straight out of bounds. And I will be honest, I think that had something to do with us being behind him. Yeah. Yelling. Just
you guys know that. We played the game. I mean, there's a point in games where you do things you don't normally do if you're nervous.
You either do really good or really bad. And sometimes it's a mixture of both, which I think is exactly what happened to Kempen. We psyched him up so much that eventually he just crashed.
We rattled his nerves. Like,
which is exactly what we're there to do, you know, so it was great.
That's the importance. That's the importance that fans, supporters like us, play in a game is not only are we there to boost the morale of our players, but to also, in this instance, how we got onto Kempen for every little thing that
honestly,
he did.
Mm-hmm. That goal, though, it kind of trickled in. I saw Kempen save way better shots throughout the entire game compared to that. Yeah,
there's not much you can do when your defense leaves two guys wide open on the back post. I mean, it's game over.
And it was one
over.
Of those balls that is put into the back post and we just place it on the
other side. So the goalie's moving away from where
he's shifting his body and it just goes right over him into the right. It's a tough one to play, but it's exactly what anyone in that position should do is put it back post again.
So I wanted to ask you guys, because not overshadowed in this game, I guess, but something that has been missed a little bit is that our own man, Cyprian Hedrick, he put in yeoman's work in that game. He was voted USL Player of the Week, or one of the Team of the Week for his performance against Swope Park. He's been really good this year.
That was the first time an Energy player this year has been put onto the Team of the Week. Granted, that was also only our third game of the season.
Can I also say, though, here's the problem that I see with it. Cyprian has either been amazingly outstanding and almost unstoppable on that back line, or he's made some stupid mistake that cost us a goal. He's done it twice. It cost us a goal.
We'll talk about it against Seattle, but I really think he is coming around, and he really put in two straight great performances. So what else do you guys have? Do you have anything else for the second half, or you guys want to move on to Seattle?
We can go on to Seattle. I think Swope Park, fantastic result.
It was a good result, yeah.
That was our first win of the season. Mm-hmm. It was Swope's first loss
of the
season.
They're playing really well this year.
On top of that, it was also because Kansas City took away their affiliation with the Energy. This had a huge
impact
onto the game in itself. Mm-hmm. And the Energy itself as a club, an organization, came out and made this game a huge game. We had almost, I think, 5,600 fans
something
out there.
Like that.
Huge numbers. Our stadium holds not much
holds
more
about,
than that.
Or yes, about 7,000.
And I will say, thanks to all the Swope supporters that came out, we did have I believe we had a couple that came out.
They got moved because they used chants with cuss words.
They did get moved by security.
That sucks. So we've been there.
And I had talked to them before, and they came and hung out at our tailgate. Great, great people, and we appreciate all the away support. And hopefully we can return the favor whenever we go up to Swope Park.
And that, you know, we dealt with that before, and it's tough getting ragged on for it. It's like it's not anything we can do about it. It's not like we're the ones kicking them out of the section. We would love to have them there. So I hope that they understand that, you know.
Yeah.
They did. Some of those supporters did talk about how it was Bush League, and we agree. But it's not like something that we can do about it personally.
It was
out
of our control.
Exactly, exactly. So
we don't make those decisions.
We don't. So
we're on that payroll.
No. Even if they would never put us on the payroll. anyways, so we that was a good win, first win
someday.
Of the season. Again,
actually,
Tyler.
Last year's officers did make that decision.
Oh, really? Silly.
Dave making jokes.
As
I don't know
Tyler,
if you guys heard, but he said last year the officers made the decision for us to be on the payroll.
Yeah. So I still ain't seen a nickel of that money, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, I think Tyler alluded to it that in the first half. It was a feeling out stages, like neither team wanted to lose. So it was good to come out on top in that one just to show Swope that we can do it on our own and then go back to Kansas City crying. So let's look forward to Seattle. This was an interesting game.
Gosh, it really was just frustrating.
It was frustrating. It was very frustrating. At the end of the half, we had like 14 shots, and like 7 of them were on goal. And Seattle had 2 shots, and one of them was on goal, and they scored on it. So it was a very frustrating game. In case you guys don't know, because you didn't stay up long enough to see it, we scored in the very last second of stoppage time.
I was in the bathroom.
And actually, Tyler was in the restroom when this one happened. And I will backtrack on this because as soon as Tyler showed up, Seattle scores their goal. And
Tyler gave up on the team.
And then the first time that Tyler leaves, he thought that the game was over in the 95th minute. And all of a sudden, we score. And I start banging on the bathroom door. Everyone's chanting and yelling. And Tyler did not believe us that we had actually scored. And apparently he did not still believe us until he walked out of the restroom and saw that there was a 1-1 draw on the board.
That is kind of, first off, that is kind of something that you guys would do. But also, I must ask, Tyler, what was it that you said as you were going to the bathroom? What did you say?
I had some choice words.
What did you say?
Be honest. Family podcast.
Well, then bleak them out.
Like, as I was walking into the restroom or while I was in there?
As you were walking in.
As I was walking in, it was more of like, these bleeping bleeps aren't doing bleeping bleep, and expletive, oh my expletive, I'm really expletive, upset, and, you know, things like that. Like,
did you say we lost the game as you were going?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, we don't got this. This is over. This is done. I'm done. I'm upset.
He hadn't gone to the restroom all game. And the one moment he does is in the 95th minute. Obviously, he had to go before that, but he was holding it.
Yeah, he gave up.
I gave up on the team.
Well, now you know. Don't ever give up on the team.
No, we just can't let Tyler.
Also, I have to say that
I was in the bathroom.
I was really, really sure that the ref was going to call a foul on right out kicking through the goalie, which he didn't. But from where the head ref was, she couldn't see it. I don't think she had a good view of it. And I thought she was going to call it coming out, and that was going to set me off. But she didn't, and she shouldn't have. It was a good call.
No, it was perfectly fine. And I will say the ref in this one has actually been one of the better refs that I've watched all season long.
The whore called a good game.
She called a fantastic game.
She called a good game. There was a couple. Yeah, she did. There was a couple of fouls I didn't agree with on some plays that were aggressive, but nobody's ever going to agree on a ref.
You'll miss a foul or two. Absolutely. Because you can't see everything. Yeah. But all in all, I honestly thought she's been our better ref so far.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Mansoray's goal.
And he got a red card.
Mansoray? No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't? Who got a red
card?
That
wasn't Mansoray. He got subbed off. That was I can't remember who it was.
And the red card, it was very – and we're going to go ahead and say there was a red card in this game.
There was.
It was in the 81st minute, if I remember correctly.
It was towards the end.
I remembered the foul, but I do not remember them issuing the red card. So
it was the second yellow.
It was very quiet as far as how it went, and it did not register with us or on the screen itself that it was a red card. So we thought
I didn't
it was,
even know it happened.
We still thought it was 11
until
on 11.
Later, and I was like, wait, there was a red card.
But I think the player knew it was a card, so he didn't make a big deal about it and just walked off.
It was O'Neal Fisher, and he didn't make a big deal of it. It was a second yellow, and it was pretty egregious. I remember the tackle, and it was hard to pinpoint it because we were really pushing towards goal the entire game, really, but especially in the second half. And it was a tackle from behind. It just wasn't good, and he didn't even argue. He just left. So, yeah,
it was deserved.
It was very deserved, and nobody argued about it. So, Rideout scored. He Rideout the sub. Jordan Rideout came in and scored. And he did what all of us were taught in U-12 soccer, which is follow your shot.
According to Michael Thomas, he's a fireball.
And play fireball. To the whistle.
He's a little
fireball. Well, he has a lot of tattoos.
Something like that. He's a little fireball.
If you have a lot of tattoos, I think you're going to be a fireball.
And his father played in England, so he's got that bulldog. Mm-hmm.
The bulldog, yeah.
And not just in England, but in Liverpool, in Everton.
Oh, yeah. That's dirty soccer. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Mm. Dirty English soccer.
No blood, no foul.
That's right. I like it, though. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Played the same way.
Played for Fulham.
He played the same way.
He did.
And he bled and kept playing.
He did bleed and kept playing. That was back when they'd let you. Now they won't. Now you're gone. And you're changing your jersey if there's blood on it, too.
Exactly.
Anyways, I wanted to talk about Seattle's goal because it sparked a lot of controversy. And, Cam, I know you're going to talk about it later.
Yes, I will.
But I just wanted to say, and I posted it in the grid on this, but the goal was a lot of factors, not just Cody Lorenzi coming out and trying to save the ball outside of his box. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
The goal was, there was a lot of factors that led to that goal. And I have to say this because I don't know if folks understand, but that was actually a breakdown with our center backs. It was not a breakdown with our goalie. So,
well, you look at the play before it ensues, and it's like, where's all the defense?
Well, it was a corner. And you guys know this. On your own corner, you don't expect a break to come so quick.
You're always taught that the ones that are hanging back actually should be right in the center circle.
Exactly. Exactly.
My experience.
Yes, and that's how you're taught how to play as a center back. So when the play broke out, it was perfect for Seattle. It was a header out from the Seattle defender right to a Seattle player who broke quickly. And if you guys watch the play, first off, our center backs were way too high up the field after you see Seattle had recovered the ball. So where they were at was fine when we're taking the corner. But at the time Seattle got the ball, you're going back. You need to be back pedaling.
Except in this instance, I will say, it's because of it being a corner kick, it shouldn't have been the center backs. That's more of, most likely you're going to see your outside players be the ones that are the last ones back.
Players who aren't going to challenge for the ball, basically, on a corner, right?
The ones that are not good in the air, as good, because your center backs are actually going to be in the box playing.
Generally, they play in the box, exactly.
Generally. Well, ours aren't.
Now, ours don't. Ours don't. Both Andrews and Sip were back there.
Mm-hmm.
So, or Cyprian Hedrick, sorry. So what you saw happen was the Seattle player breaks out and takes a couple of fast touches, and then you have defenders who are in one of two minds. So you have Hedrick, who is trying to play Montserrat offside, and then you have Andrews, who's tracking with Montserrat. So they play it right between them. They were too far apart. It was really, like I put in the post, it was a dark mark on overall a very good defensive game.
It was the one slight moment in breakdown in communication, mm-hmm. because the two had become disconnected.
Exactly.
And there was that little gap. All in all, everything else was fine.
And I wanted to say that because there's just this overall overwhelming reaction to Lorendi coming out of the goal. But as a goalie, you are taught to make a decision. And you make it, and you don't hesitate, so you're not in no man's land. But Lorendi was stuck that way because his center backs were caught way too far up the field and were split. So I wanted to point that out because, you know, I hate to see the tongue lashing that Lorendi's getting because of an aggressive decision that he made. And he is an aggressive goalkeeper. We all know this.
At least it's a decision.
And you actually want to see that response in a goalkeeper because if there is a breakdown in communication in that back line, there's mm-hmm. only one person back there. And if the ball is far enough out, then you want to at least do what you can to force him as wide as possible. And actually, in all honesty, Lorendi pushed him. I think he could have come out with a little more conviction.
But he pushed him outside the goal.
He pushed him far enough and almost got Cyprian Hedrick enough time to get back and disrupt the play. Because he barely put that ball in an empty net.
Well, also, at the same time, What he did was he shortened the gap.
Yeah.
He shortened the gaps. So, you know, he made himself big and then he came down when he got close enough. So, at the same time, you look at it this way. Would you rather have him just sit back in the goal and come out a little bit? Or would you rather and let him just come and have his way with it?
Exactly.
Or would you rather have him come out and at least challenge that so that he can disrupt it and possibly get a deflection off of himself,
mm-hmm.
whereas he's got you know every single angle at the goal.
At least he cut off angles.
In this instance,
which he got lucky in my opinion with the goal, to be honest.
Yeah, no,
a little bit. It went off of him and kind of just tipped up and dipped down.
And can I say, in this instance, I almost would have preferred Lorendi to have stayed back because it was so far out, and he wasn't quite as close to the backs as he should have been, mm-hmm. or not should have been. But then he wouldn't have pushed him so far to the outside of the box. Let me ask you this, Cam.
When you beat a player and you on the dribble, what are you taught to do? You're taught to dribble right behind him. So if he tries to win the ball, he's going to go through you, right?
Yeah.
Because Lorendi came out, Sip was not beat that way.
Sip wasn't even anywhere near the defender when it happened.
And that's what I'm – you mean the offensive player.
The offensive player.
What I'm saying is the fact that Lorendi came out and slowed him down, it allowed Sip to even get back and make a play on the ball.
Yeah, and he pushed him to the outside to
which is
take
why
away
this,
some of those angles.
This play in particular is kind of one of those – in Family Podcast, damned if you are, damned if you don't.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, because 100%.
He made a correct decision, but I also think
there were
the decision wasn't
decisions.
Going to be wrong if he stayed back.
Right.
Sip.
As long as he did that correctly.
He did give Cyprian enough time to come back and potentially make a play.
Right.
But I think if he would have stayed in the box, he would have been there. And if he could, and Lorendi's a bigger dude. He can make himself wide.
Yeah.
He can no make the player try and place a accurate pass,
sure.
accurate shot into the goal. So
sure.
I think in this instance, it was more of those that, regardless of what happened, he made a correct decision. He did what he could, even though he missed the ball. It was still a correct decision in mm-hmm. his mind. It gave Cyprian enough time, or whoever is the right back, whoever is the center back or closest one to him, to close down and potentially make a play. He pushed him out as far as possible.
The finish was good because Sip took the ground ball away and he placed it up over him. And, you know, here's how I see it playing out. If Lorendi doesn't come out, Montserrat takes that touch and he cuts off Sip. And Sip's a fast player. I mean, we saw how he recovered.
His closing speed was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But in that instance, I think if Lorendi doesn't come out, Montserrat just cuts him off. So either Sip comes in from behind and gets a red card and takes him out, or Monterey's 1v1 with the keeper. And who knows what's going to happen in that instance, you know. So, I mean, it was all basically what we've all kind of come down to is that it was a very complex play, not Lorendi came out and he's an idiot for coming out.
We broke down the issue of if he came out, what was going to happen? If he didn't come out, what was going to happen? So,
and why was he put in that position as well, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, so, I'm glad we talked about that because, you know, there was multiple comments, oh, well, I prefer this goalkeeper and this because Lorendi did this, and it's just like, eh. Well, if you watch it.
You know, things might have been different with somebody else, but at the same time, things might have been worse with somebody else.
It could have been. I mean, if a keeper doesn't come out and Monterey cuts off Sip, it's a 1v1, and it's very easily a pass into goal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And then he makes us look even more stupid or idiotic.
We didn't look stupid at all in that issue. The only thing that made it look stupid was because it was an empty goal. But that's the American way of looking at soccer.
Right.
There was nothing wrong with the play. I do think
looking
at it, Lorendi maybe could have come out with a little more conviction. Mm-hmm. He did kind of back off in a way, but I have nothing against it.
Yeah, and that's well, to be honest, you made a good point.
His stepping back for just a moment might have been him trying to fake the forward out because you've got to play mind games
you
with
do.
Them just as much as they have to play mind games with you.
And you may be right. I think my biggest qualm with all of it is that if Lorendi comes out, he gets ball or he gets man. There's no two ways about it.
Thankfully, he did not get man. Unfortunately, the goal was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, we were not down a man, down a goalkeeper, because it's tough for a backup goalkeeper to come in. Because that would have been a red card on Lorendi, which would have meant Cochran would have come in. I think Cochran was our backup.
A bunch of people would have liked that, apparently.
And that's the thing. A lot of people thought Cochran was should have been the better goalkeeper. And because of this decision, everyone is like, oh, I would have much rather have had Cochran in goal.
He's probably making the same decision, to be honest.
Oh, in Cochran's mind, he should be making the same decision. Mm-hmm. He's like, he should be second-guessing everything that's going on because he wants to be out on out on the pitch. I completely agree with the coaching decision. I won't say, he's got it wrong in this instance.
Sure.
Because regardless, whichever goalkeeper he's put out there, it's been a great decision so far.
And I still think Cochran would have done the same thing. I think goalkeepers, when they see a long touch like that and they think they can get to it, they're going to go. I really do think that, especially in 1v1 situations. I really do think most keepers are going to make that decision. And we want them to make that decision, right? We don't want them to be hesitate, and now I'm getting beat dead to rights no matter what happens, you know?
Right.
I think I have somebody else who has a little bit to say about Seattle here.
Sure.
We got big old boy Dave.
Dave Rader, go Tottenham, right? He can't hear yet, so he's not going to say anything.
I heard that. I'm out. Hold on.
Chelsea.
So,
namaste.
So tell us your thoughts about all this, Dave, because I know you had your own thought.
Yeah, so I think we've all kind of, whether it's social media or whatever, everyone's knee-jerking, okay? So we have a long ways to go, very long ways to go. So when I see us play, it's not like I look at us and go, it's not like this is the be-all, end-all. How it's going to go.
Absolutely.
So many people do that because, as I posted on social media today, everyone's so excited of what we did last year. That doesn't matter.
We're not the same team.
Exactly.
We've got to have a little bit of rebound time.
You have to get your groove on, right? Yeah. So,
of course.
I don't, as much as I want our midfield to improve and I want our guys to get in more of a rhythm from the center of the field to
everything
we do, it takes time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right?
It takes time. And I'm not going to
Here's the thing. If by the end of the season we aren't at that level, I'm going to be surprised. But at the same time, you look at the way we started last season. We didn't start off being, fantabulous.
Well, and think about it, guys. Dave, you were there year one. You know what it was like to go year one to year two. We basically overhauled almost the entire team. Now, this year we haven't had as much turnover, but we had some turnover as we lost an affiliate and players left. So if there's anything that we're used to, it's that we're going to have different lineups, and you're right. It's a long season, and we have to gel.
And we're always, I think, we're very conservative. That's how we play. It's the Danish style or whatever you want to call it. We don't set out to make mistakes. We don't set out to be too overly creative.
Mm-hmm.
We limit mistakes. We find a way into the goal. We're just hardworking blue class guys.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Which I love.
I love that too, but
I can't tell you how many times we've mentioned that.
At some point in time, obviously during the season, you want a little more. You want a little more grace.
Of course.
A little more soft passing where where the team gels and comes together. Mm-hmm.
I think they will.
So, yeah, and like I said, we're four games in. So, what does that mean? It means everyone needs to just chill out.
Yes.
We'll get there.
Yeah. And Dave, we talked about this on the podcast last year, and we learned our lesson for this year. Remember Newton's first like four games? He was awful.
Our first like four episodes were just bashing
the
Newton.
Austin game.
He was terrible.
I forget what he did. Oh. He does something
he
really
got chipped,
bad.
He got he overestimated a bounce or something like
and
that.
And it went right over his head.
Yeah. Went right over his head and into the goal.
And that guy, you know what? He turned out to be all right.
We wanted his head. We wanted Evan gone.
Turns out he was okay.
Really? We couldn't get Kempen back? We had to pull in this guy?
You know, in that Austin game, who was the goalkeeper on the other side who played pretty well?
Lorendi.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And he ended up where?
No, he's here with us.
Oh.
So let's all calm the F down.
As some might say, calm your tits.
We can say that? Okay.
I'm sure we can.
Yeah, you're right.
But we do. I'll admit, everyone, you set a standard and then you want it. I mean, it's like, so I get it. But we're veteran enough to know that you don't cry for it. Doesn't happen like that.
Here's the thing: the hardest position to probably gel to is probably becoming a goalkeeper for a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have a different back line. You have the communication is sorry, you were gonna say that, but yeah.
No, you stole the words right out of my mouth.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
No, it's true. Like you have so many different things to look for. You have so many things to like. What is my center backs going to do if I do this? What are my wing player, my outside defenseman going to do if my center backs do this and that forces me to do this? Like, who do I yell at for this?
Yeah. Having said that, I mean, obviously the most important part of any team, and every time we talk about this, is the central midfield. The play goes through there.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to talk about that one.
It's nothing new. But
quite
frankly,
the energy for those of us
that watched the games at Pribble, you know what we did? We started on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? You can't go through the middle. Why? You've got to go through the middle. You've got to have a guy that kind of facilitates the play. And if you don't have that, then what is your attack based on?
Well, when
that's not the only thing, but it's a big part of it.
The part of the system that we have is that we have a lone striker, and we really have a diamond midfield. So we have three center mids. That's how our system works. You have to have one who has bite. You have to have one who's a linking midfielder, and then you have to have one that can attack and make the right pass. And so far, throughout the season, we haven't found that right combination to be able to find all those things. Now, a solution has come in these last two games with Michael Thomas slipping into the midfield and playing behind the two midfielders a little bit. I think both games really changed when he did that, especially the Seattle game.
Call us.
We've experimented with that before, right?
Yeah, he played there our year one.
Year one. Exactly. And he did a great job.
It needs to happen,
and, call us a little bit flustered and a little bit Twitter-pated. You ever heard that word?
Sure have.
But we happen to think Michael Thomas is a valuable asset.
Yeah. And let me tell you something.
You know, he's not the most skilled, but he works hard and he can play just about anywhere.
Yeah. And he's smart.
He's very smart. And let me tell you something. He wants to play in the midfield too.
Yeah.
No. And it showed in these past two games.
He's told us multiple times he wants to play in the midfield. Yeah. So
and the game changed. The game's changed when he moves in there. So I am all for that. You know, he has bite. He can win the ball. And he can pass the ball.
Guy's going to work harder than anybody else on the team.
And you know what else? You know what else? Michael Harris is doing just fine at right back. He's doing well.
He had a nice game against Seattle.
Yeah,
he had a nice game. He played very well.
He has the pace.
Nobody came down that right side.
He has the pace. He has the pace to make up for mistakes, and all throw-ins are corner kicks when he's on the field, straight up. That is
agreed.
Whatever you guys want to say about the flip throw, we made fun of it before, just in fun.
Yeah,
but whatever you want to say about it, it's valuable. You know,
the announcer at the same would time, not let that die.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if it is straight on, it's terrible. But if it's where it needs to be, it's awesome.
Yeah. And
how many times did that guy say? Who is that announcer?
Oh, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Yeah. But Dave.
That's what all I heard.
Dave, anything else about the Seattle game?
God, like I said.
We should have ran away with more points.
So many opportunities.
Yeah.
How much? Tell me again. How many?
In the first half, we had 14 shots, 7 on goal.
So I mean, you talk about moving forward.
Okay.
And a lot of that didn't come from too much creativity, to be honest. It really didn't.
No.
We just moved forward. We played hard. And I'm saying if there were just one guy in the middle that could just
the honest truth about it is
sold it all up.
We just lost it to a struggling team.
And I agree.
Well, I mean, we didn't lose the game, but we lost the 3 points that we should have had.
Any time you have more opportunities than the other team has, you question it. You're like, why didn't it fall? Sometimes it just didn't fall your way, and sometimes it.
Sometimes Chelsea scores 2 goals in the second half.
I didn't want to bring that up.
To tell you that you're not getting the title.
You said no.
Jeez. Come on. This isn't.
Oh, sorry. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, gosh. This is an energy podcast.
This is where you edit.
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
No. We don't. No. I heard enough from Tottenham fans about it. So,
no.
Yeah.
But, no, anyway. I think the next game, I think, will tell us a lot. And I hate to say that, but it's true.
Yeah. It's against Arizona. So,
it is.
You know, honestly, we always have a time with Arizona.
Yeah.
Whether it be tough or whether it be interesting.
But we've like I said, every
or tough and
everybody
usually both.
Yeah. Just builds
usually the mixture.
Every team just builds to their next level. So what is it next? You know, we have our own expectations as fans, but that's not realistic.
Like I said, we've got Arizona.
Yeah.
After that we've got the Spurs. San Antonio Spurs.
Two in a row, actually.
San Antonio.
Two in a row. I'd actually like to go down there. Are we going down there?
Yeah, I'd like to. We'll talk.
Where are we going down to?
San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, man, I'd love to. I think
there's
we could. I got a place for us to stay in Austin, too.
I'd love for us to go down there.
That sounds like a trip that we should all discuss. But
we'll discuss.
That's for another
episode, Dave,
isn't it?
Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on. And
you're good as always. We like having you on because you know the game.
5 points is not too bad.
Well, it was four in two games or something like that. 4 out of 6 is what we got.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is actually very
5 points total is what we have now.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, this is my favorite podcast.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
We like having Dave on.
Let's give it back to Cam.
I'm sorry for the comments about Tottenham. Not really. Oh, shit. Now Cam's on. Dang it.
Oh,
I heard that too.
Shucks. So, anyways, Cameron, what do we got going on next? What's happening?
We have the next games on the
Should
schedule.
We look forward to
Should we look forward
other
to?
Games?
Oh, yeah.
We're playing a team that we don't like.
Arizona?
Since year one.
Because of, who was it? What Long Tan?
Long Tan.
Short Pale?
Short Pale.
That guy's a jerk.
Oh, he's such a jerk.
Didn't he like flip us off?
Yeah, he flipped us off, man. In year one, in a Catholic stadium.
Yeah. How do you do that in the Lord's house?
We throw him a bunch of Hail Marys.
It's a Catholic term. Good. Well done, gosh. Well done, Cam. I don't know what it means, but I know that's a Catholic term.
I have no
either,
idea.
But I do know that that term is thrown around.
It is. Yeah. So,
you should probably go do some Hail Marys because you probably did something blasphemous.
I'm at a bar. I should be throwing Hail Marys for that alone.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, we play Arizona. Does anybody really know anything about Arizona this year?
I know that they're completely different now. The Sam Garza is their best player.
They have Sam Garza. They have the lead
they have
singer.
Long tan.
They have the lead singer of Fall Out Boy. No, the bassist for Fall Out Boy as the owner.
Pete Wentz.
Wow. Along no, Pete Wentz is the singer, isn't he?
No,
he's,
Pete Wentz
he's
is
a bassist.
Oh, really? That guy's stupid anyways. Fall Out Boy sucks.
Yeah.
They basically ripped off the Munsters opening song and made a song out of it. Like they sampled the Munsters song. You guys know the
I like that play on word, the basically.
Because he's a bass player. Yeah. Anyways, they stole the Munster song and then made a song out of it and got a lot of money. That shit pisses me off to no end. I swear to God.
I know
that crap pisses me off to no end.
Apparently, they got
to
like.
They're going down.
Apparently. Hey, Sugar, you think they're going down swinging? But.
Cam, you're great. I'm so glad you're here. Gosh.
So, really, though. Real talk.
They, Arizona.
They got a bunch of new ownership besides just Pete Wentz. They got like some celebrities or I don't know.
Arizona's been weird because they have had – it's weird. So they used to be Phoenix as far as – they used to be Phoenix something.
Phoenix FC.
And then the year that we started, they turned to Arizona United. And even from then on, they've changed ownerships like two times, I think.
Well, I think the guy that bought Long Tan is still there, and that's why Long Tan is still there.
Oh.
You don't buy people.
I don't know if he's still there, man. I'm going to check, but I don't think he's still there.
Whatever.
Let's see.
Anyways, let's talk about them going on this year. Because last year, they finished off pretty sadly.
He is still there. Oh, hi, Long Tan. There you are without a picture for some reason.
I told you he is still there.
Like, literally every other player has a picture except Long Tan, but he's been there, like, the entire time they've been there. How does that work? You tell me.
I don't know. Like,
So, yeah, if you look at Arizona, they're kind of the opposite of Seattle, who we just played. They actually had 5 straight away games.
Hey, Daniel, does that mean they've been dancing across the country so far?
This is going great. This is what the people pay for, is all of the Fall Out Boy references.
Only to Arizona, though.
Only to Arizona because they have a connection to Fall Out Boy.
Right.
We didn't make any coffee references to Seattle, though. I'm kind of disappointed. Come on, Cam. This is your boat. You started the Fall Out Boy stuff.
Yeah.
I did, but...
Maybe coffee is too easy, and the Fall Out Boy is like way different.
And
so.
They actually don't play in Seattle.
That's true. So okay, so let's look at it. They had they have 5 straight home games. They lost to Galaxy, beat Seattle Sounders 2, lost to Sacramento, lost to Colorado, tied Portland. Oh, I'm sorry, Portland was at home. They won against Real Monarchs. So they won against Real Monarchs, won against Seattle 2, and lost the other 3 games at home.
You know, I bet you they're really just thanking all those teams for the memories.
Yeah.
This is too good.
Oh, gosh.
What? No? No?
Oh, gosh.
We're not having that one.
No, that was good. I like that one. Point is, they had 5 straight away, and now they're coming home, and they tied Portland at home, and now they get us at home on Saturday, May 7th, before they go on the road again. So what do you guys know about Arizona besides Pete Wentz?
It is one of the states that is part of the Four Corners.
Yes. They have also a canyon that's kind of grand.
They have no daylight savings time.
Oh, they don't.
Yep. They're like one of 2 states. They're like one of 2 states that does not associate with daylight savings.
That's true. Wow. So my license expires in 4 years from when I got it, and theirs go 50. So Arizona is looking like a hot spot right now.
Well, it's very hot. I don't know if you've ever spent a summer in Arizona.
Yeah, no, I was there. I was there for the Grand Canyon. And
is that in?
Yeah, apparently that's in Arizona. I thought it was in New Mexico, but it's not. It's in Arizona.
Well, did you also know that Arizona knows what you did in the dark?
I did not know that. That's creepy.
Well, that's another Fall Out Boy song. It's my songs Know What She Did in the Dark. Obviously, that one didn't catch on because it's not one of their hits.
You just know so many Fall Out Boy songs. It's actually making me feel weird.
They have a song called The Phoenix, and don't they play... Where do they play?
It makes sense that they would have a song called Phoenix, and Pete
I don't
Wentz
know where they
also
play.
An owner.
Peoria.
Illuminati.
Peoria
Illuminati.
Is where they play.
Illuminati.
They play in Peoria, okay? That's where they play.
Well, my favorite actress
That's not Phoenix.
Well, we don't know. Geography wasn't our best. Anyways.
Arizona United, playing them. We hate them. Their players came and flipped us off after a game the first year that we ever played.
Long tan.
So, speaking of Fall Out Boy and single people, I don't know if Pete Wentz is actually there, but we have a question from a Twitter question by someone named Soccer Chef, and was asking, why is Tyler still single? This is probably more entertaining than anything about Arizona.
I have a quick answer to that. It's because he named off like 6 Fall Out Boy songs while we were talking about Arizona. I would go with that one as number one.
Fall Out Boy. It's exactly
wow.
it.
Wow.
I mean, if you're looking for things besides his small pee-pee... It would be
if
that.
If you're looking for a good time, look, don't come to me because apparently I listen to Fall Out Boy.
Well, yeah.
A lot.
Okay, so anyways.
Anyways, moving on.
There is a picture of Pete Wentz on the Arizona United website.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Their jersey says Food City on the front. That's kind of legit.
Food City.
That's kind of cool.
Are they really the Food City, though? Peoria?
I don't know. That's probably like a restaurant, or not a restaurant. It's probably like a grocery store or something.
It is a grocery store.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a really terrible, terrible
Food City.
Name of grocery.
They should just name themselves Get Your Groceries Here. Yeah. Grocery store.
Hey, there's groceries there? What?
At Food City?
At Food City? Wow.
That's probably because they have a new owner yet again. But Pete Wentz is there. Look at that. He wears lucky number 13. Cool.
Oh, what a great guy.
Wow, Pete Wentz, man. What a shitty player. Wow. Oh, man. Can't say that word, but he's terrible.
Bless his heart.
Fall Out Boy is terrible, man.
Anyways, so let's continue.
But they'll go down swinging.
Very nice.
They'll be your number one with a bullet.
So we have another game that we're going to cover while we have a podcast
is
on the 15th of May.
Is it a loaded gun complex, cock it and pull it?
It's, oh, no. Well, actually, oh, no.
Is it a little less really. 16 candles?
You know too many Fall Out Boy songs.
I was looking them up.
I'm literally, no, you weren't, because anytime you turn your computer to something else,
it's
we stop recording.
It's on my phone, you clown.
No, whatever. Tyler knows all the Fall Out Boy songs, so make fun of them.
It was his favorite high school band.
So let's continue on.
Yeah, it was.
We've got a path we're moving down.
On the 15th of May, at home, our next home game, everybody come
it's
out.
Sunday.
Speaking of, I didn't mention this, but our lovely folks at Skinny Slims will be broadcasting the Arizona game on the 7th of May.
Mm-hmm.
So come on out. They'll have it streaming. Hopefully Haley won't be here because she's mean.
Remember the 7th of May.
And most likely that game is actually going to be at 9 o'clock
again
because of the West Coast.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they don't celebrate.
West Coast, best
celebrate,
coast.
Celebrate
daylight savings time.
Who celebrates
then
that?
Then it's going to be 2 hours behind. So
you know, only like every other state.
It will be another 9 o'clock kickoff.
Not a
on
big
that
deal.
One.
So come on out to Skinny's. They'll have the game broadcasting. Besides that, on the 15th again, like I said, we have our next home game against the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes. Are those Spurs jokes ever going to get old?
They won't.
No, they won't.
Guys, do you think because they're playing both basketball and soccer that they'll rest Tim Duncan and Tony Parker for that game? Or you think
obviously,
they'll play?
Obviously.
I don't see them doing that. This is a huge game for the Spurs. So I honestly think Popovich is going to play his starters.
I think Popovich is going to get his saggy butt out of the chair and get on the pitch himself.
Popovich? I never even heard of her.
Oh, God.
Got it.
Wow.
Only the adults will get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we mean on the podcast, Haley. Thank you, though. Like, people are going to listen to this. Not you, but other people.
Anyways, our
Haley is such a hater.
Our bartender's trying to get sassy with
she
us.
She is so sassy.
We made her wow. arrive an hour early, and she's hating us.
And she's sitting over there like.
Pretty sure Dave just farted.
Wow, there's lots of stuff going on here.
Let's move along here. So
San Antonio.
Can I ask you guys, does anyone really know anything about the San Antonio team besides the fact that they beat Tulsa recently?
Besides the fact that they beat Tulsa, that's awesome.
This is their first year.
It is their first year.
They are an expansion team.
It is their first year. They beat Tulsa. Does it matter?
3-1.
Yeah.
3-1. Wow.
And in that game, they had like over 7,000 folks too. So on a night that the Spurs demolished our beloved Thunder by like 40 points, they still pulled over 7,000 people, which is kind of legit.
Not bad. Maybe.
So yes, they are 2-2 right now. They have 2 wins, 2 ties, 2 losses, and then most of their games have been away. They've had out of their 6 games, they've had 4 of them away and 2 at home. So they, you know, they've played a lot of games away, and
good.
We,
you know what? Maybe
we finally get them there.
Maybe we can take advantage of their away record.
Yeah, maybe we could. You know, but we turn around and play them again like a week later at their place. Kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on?
It's a home and away. You ever heard of it? A lot of teams do home and aways. I don't know if you ever heard of those sort of.
Yeah,
things.
But not in soccer.
Shh. No. What?
They do it in
they like don't that. Usually just turn around and go to the other team. Don't you shush
what
me.
You, what are you talking about? Like
crap.
Champions League? They do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about soccer.
Champions League is soccer.
I'm about to.
We're talking about soccer, not basketball.
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Playoffs. So, yeah.
You kidding
me?
Playoffs?
So we get San Antonio Spurs FC at home on Sunday, May 15th. Hope to see you guys out there. I know it's school night and everything.
Is
but,
there anybody good on the San Antonio team that we
I
can
don't
think
know.
Of?
I haven't heard of any of their players.
I have no idea what they have going on, to be honest with you.
But, you know, we're not like, I don't know.
Van Compernol go? Van Compernol is not with San Antonio.
Yeah, he was Swope.
Wow.
No, that was Barcelona.
Can we just take a moment for, no, Barcelona is actually not with Swope either.
They have a player
That's
named
Colorado Springs.
Jason Johnson, which is the most generic name ever. Never heard of him, but he has 4 points for them. So go Jason Johnson. He's probably a good player for them.
Go player. Like, this is the most generic team ever. You know what? They can't. Here's what
which
it is.
Which is why we
they
say go player.
This is what it is. They can't put any of the Spurs basketball team stats.
That's right.
Got to be some kind of conflict
that's
of interest
right.
there.
That's right.
So
I don't see Tony Parker anywhere on
or
this roster
Tim Duncan.
List.
I'm sure
Timmy's got to be on there somewhere.
Do you think Manu Ginobili's on there?
Oh, Manu Ginobili. We're on
Isn't
somebody.
He Argentinian?
Yeah. He's foreign. So Tony Parker is too, but that's kind of American name. So you know.
Yeah, super white.
So yes, Jason Johnson has 2 goals, 2 assists. So that's 4 points for him. Besides
Good
that,
for him.
Not very much going on.
Good for you, Jason Johnson. Hey. I hope you do nothing against us.
They also have Milton Palacios, who I do remember from. He plays for Honduras, so we've seen him in CONCACAF. You know, U.S. Fans out there.
Well, there you go. That's who we got.
And his
watch
brother
for.
Is Wilson Palacios, who played in Premier League for Wigan, I think. But he's a good player too. So go Milton. His name's Milton. That's kind of weird.
Milton.
But
no, honestly, that
we
is
we don't know a lot
a
about San Antonio. It's their first year. They have a lot of different. They have a lot of new players. They don't have an affiliate, I don't think. So they're kind of on their own. Besides the Spurs,
we've gone over
yep.
this.
We
Spurs,
did.
Like,
we just
about
talked about.
They are great with 5-a-side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But come on out on May 15th. It's a Sunday. We'll have a good time. What else you guys want to talk about?
I mean, we might as well go into the standings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like where we sit, where...
Are you sure?
Yes.
It might be a little disappointing.
It's going to be a little bit
Granted,
disappointing.
Granted, we've only played 4 games, but we are actually still above... we are above a team in the standings.
We are. What team is that?
A slut.
If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure it's another Oklahoma team, and it's not Rayo.
Mm.
Tulsa's living in 1983.
Or the Athletics.
Actually, Rayo's still.
I'm pretty sure.
But whatever.
I'm pretty
we're
sure.
Not talking about them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Tulsa's championship team back in the 80s is actually above the Roughnecks right now.
They are. Roughnecks suck. They played 6 games. They've won a game. They've lost 4.
But at least they won.
Tied one. Wow.
But they got a win.
Wow.
They got a winny.
Somehow.
Windsor.
We have only played 4 games, which is the least amount in the entire West. So we're down there too, but we'll get our chance to catch up. Looking at the Western Conference standings, you have LA Galaxy 2 up top with 13 points. You got the Vancouver Whitecaps led by Kyle Gregg, who's dead to us, with 11 points.
For somebody dead, we seem to mention him quite often, but whatever.
Yeah, you mentioned him too. Don't you get on to me.
Rest in peace.
Third place, Orange County Blues with 10. Fourth, Colorado Switchbacks with 9. And then you go down the line, San Antonio with 8. Real Monarchs with 8. What else we got? Is that more updated? We're good? Or am I off?
No, you're correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah. St. Louis with 8. With 8. Swole with 7. Rio Grande, Sacramento, Arizona, and Portland all with 7 as well.
You guys remember at this time last season when, like, Real Monarchs still only had, like, 1 point?
Yeah.
They had, like, 1 point for, like, the first, like, 10 games.
They're better now.
Apparently
they're better now.
They picked something up.
They
caught the bug.
Just to round out the standings, Seattle 2 with 6 points through 7 games, not very good. Your Energy with 5 points through 4 games, and Tulsa with 4 points through 6 games. So we're down there, but we got to catch up on games a little bit. Didn't we do this last year too?
Our goal differential is 0.
It is 0.
So that's
and every team below basically half of the table has a negative goal difference except us.
We are actually only 3 points off of being in the top 6.
Yeah, so and we have basically almost three games in hand on most teams. So, you know, don't worry about that too much. The important point to note is that with 2 more games in hand, we're still above Tulsa because they're terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Even the Tulsa fans think they're terrible.
They know they're terrible.
They know. So, yeah, not too bad
it's
there.
Quite obvious.
All right, so you guys ready for what's becoming my favorite segment on the podcast, one-ish minute rant?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Cam, why don't you start with yours first?
Okay, so
I'm timing you.
My one-minute rant, tell me when you'll start, and
ready.
I will go
Hold on.
We got to get the clock up.
And go.
My rant is Oklahoma City sports in general. We saw it within the Grid Facebook page on how many people were actually getting on the back of Cody Lorendi for coming out. They were immediately calling for him to be benched and playing Cochran. Cochran has actually had some good games, I will admit. However, I do think Lorendi is the better of the players. Oklahoma City fans in general are so quick to just hop off of their team or a player and say, oh no, he needs to be out of there. We see it with OU fans a lot in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the OU Sooner football team, their quarterback in general, they're always saying, oh, he's throwing interceptions like crazy. Let's go ahead and
bench him.
Let's just be done with him. Let's get someone new in there. And it's one of those things. I'm actually from Texas, and I'm from a part of Texas that doesn't see this a whole lot.
God's country.
But it frustrates me to see how quickly people are to jump on off of someone that
mm-hmm.
you're like, give him time. He's only played 2 games. He's actually been sick for the past couple of weeks. So this was his first game, Lorendi we're talking about. And I just think he still needs some time. Give him a week or two, and we'll see exactly. If he keeps doing this mistake, then we will have a gripe about it.
Hey, on that same line, how quickly did we forget his performance against New York City FC and just preseason in general? You know,
exactly. Like,
I mean, he was really good, really good.
He
so,
showed promise. You just gotta you gotta have faith. Oh, sorry.
No, don't sing anymore. You already pulled off another
Fallout
Boy.
Oh, that wasn't
Fallout
Boy.
Oh, yeah. Pete
I thought
Wentz.
That's all you knew.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Tyler, you ready?
Nah.
Oh, did you want to talk about cams? You can talk about cams. This is our podcast. We can go as long as we want.
You can talk about what I have to say.
Cameron.
See?
I completely agree.
You're too kind.
Sort of. Now, here's a problem, though. He's got to also learn to command his back line a little bit better, apparently, because they're the ones that keep screwing him up. You can't deny that. Like, somebody's got to command the back line a little bit better.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this.
If you're a goalie sitting on your six, your own corner, everybody's pushed up the field. They break against you. Your defenders are near midfield.
I'm not saying he didn't make the right
decision.
What
are you saying?
I'm just saying
how can he command his center backs there? Just ask
him. No. Command them to make sure that they're set up to where that break doesn't ever happen. Like, that's not impossible to do.
Sure.
That's not easy. Or maybe the coaches should be commanding them to do so, because they probably got a better, you know,
a view of it. Sure.
And not only view of it, they could practice that a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm only asking you that because it kind of feeds into what we talked about, is that their break was almost a perfect storm. There was not a whole lot you could do about it.
Well, yeah, no,
that's why I was asking, not to try and catch you or nothing.
But you know, this isn't the first time it's happened. It's why people are complaining.
I think our defense is really coming around, though. I think they're doing well.
Yeah.
So you know, we'll see what happens. Like Cam said, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Just give it time. We will see. A new goalie is a big thing because communication. He is the only one on the field that actually sees
the
entire thing. So he is the one that communicates. So it goes from him forward. So goalkeeper to the defenders to see what's going on. And they have to be able to hear it. At that time, he was maybe a little too far back from them, I will say. So maybe the communication, although there weren't a whole lot of fans there, so he wasn't have to yelling over a whole bunch of fans there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the communication just was a little lacking. But I think in time, they will sort that out.
You just, for me, and I agree. I mean, you guys know this because you played the game. You know, communication has to come from your keeper. Like Cam said, keeper sees the entire game.
Yeah.
What I want to see more of is communication between the two center backs. You know, in that situation when they're breaking, Sip should say, step up so we can catch them, or it should say drop. You know, it's simple. So, but anyways, you know.
Simple to a point.
Yeah. I mean, it's more simple than Lorendi yelling from the back, whereas the defenders are from me to Ernie, and I yell to Ernie to drop, or I yell for him to step. And
for those of you who don't know and can't see us,
Ernie's our smoke man.
Ernie is
literally
one of
like
that. Yeah. Yep.
15 feet away.
That's right.
He is one of
so
two
he's,
people
he's,
that pulls the pin on the smoker.
That's right.
That comes
you can
out
thank
on,
him.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, you know it's so complex as far as how a goal happens, and that was a perfect storm for Seattle. But we could talk about that all day. You're right though. I mean, you guys are both right. You know, Lorendi has to do better.
There's got
to
be some better communication between somebody. And I'm not saying it's Lorendi. I'm not saying it's the center back. It's got to happen.
We got to talk out there, boys.
And if any of the players that listen to this actually hear what we're saying and want to come to us and tell us what happened, then we will be open to listen to
Sip's going to be on the podcast next week, and like he's going to be all cool. And he's going to be like, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, the funny thing is the only player that really ever has mentioned that he listens to it still is Kyle Gregg, but he's dead to us.
Wait,
our boy
doesn't
KG
even listen to it. He was
MT does.
He's a company man though. He's got to walk the line, you know.
He was good.
He was good. Yeah,
I
absolutely
would like to get some others on there. Maybe we can get
Lorendi.
Lorendi
said he'll come on.
We're
just got to play him.
Gosh, he's big time.
Especially after that goal that Rideout just had, we might want to get Rideout on too.
He has tattoos, so he'll definitely come on our podcast.
Yeah, that's obvious. He does not care.
So, speaking of communication, and I'm going to do my rant now.
Oh.
First off, before I start the rant, I do have to announce to you guys that Tyler and I are not capoing the grid anymore. We're not going to stand up there and lead chants. Tyler is not going to hold his glorious megaphone up.
I quit as well.
Okay.
Cam also quit from his job, whatever that was. That thing that he did, he quit.
He was like a stand-in.
I did come in and capo at least once.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Twice.
And so here's why, and here's my one-minute rant. So when we're standing up there and we're missing half the game and we look up and we see the first three rows of people singing all the songs and the first three rows of people are all of our friends that we've known since the first season who always sing all the songs, it's a little bit disheartening. And it kind of makes us feel like we're just wasting our time because we miss a lot of the game to do that. And we also deal with a lot of crap. So anyways, my 1 minute rant, and I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off with this, is that the fact that we have a lot of people who stand and drink beer in our section, all the way up to the top, but we don't have a lot of people who sing the songs.
Or have a love for the game.
Yeah. And so, you know, I used to think for a while that I'm going to go over a minute so you can stop the timer. I used to think for a while that it was that people didn't know the chants, you know, and so but if you don't know OKC by now, then I don't know what's going on. But, you know, Tyler and I would look up into the crowd singing OKC. No, I'm still going. Damn it, Cam. I'm going.
Rare.
And Tyler and I would look up, or whoever was with us, Cam, we would look up in the stands, and we would sing OKC. And the first three rows would sing OKC. And maybe a few sporadic people around the stadium. So if you're going to be in the grid, then sing the damn songs, for real. If you don't know the songs, there's probably somebody right there who would ask you. You can come down and ask any of us. We'll tell you how to sing the songs. But it really sucks, and everybody makes fun of supporter sections when they're not loud, and it sucks to, like, only have, like, the first three rows of all of our friends singing the songs that nobody else does when we have, like, 100 people in the section.
And especially if you have someone that's dedicated to try and get that to the rest of the fans, that this is what we're singing. So to see that these people aren't even wanting to acknowledge the ones that are up there trying to get it going is
it's just one of those things. It really doesn't pump up the crowd. Like, yeah. It doesn't pump up the crowd to have, like, a fourth of them singing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't pump up the team to hear a fourth of them singing it. It doesn't really heckle the opposing defense or goaltender to hear a fourth of them singing it,
yeah,
or chanting it, whatever it may be.
And, you know, Tyler may object to this, but maybe we just didn't do a good enough job of getting folks to sing. Maybe we didn't. Maybe somebody else will. But it's really disheartening when the two chants that we do all the time, which is OKC, literally, and Oh Win the Greens, which half of it is really slow, and all you have to do is put your arms around somebody and wave, and then it's repeated. So you just repeat whatever we say.
And
nobody does that.
And OKC Energy is the chant that's primarily started by maybe some of the children that are in our section.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So we give
Matt
them
Bailey's,
the microphone.
Matt Bailey's little girls.
Yeah,
they love to start.
Everybody does it.
Yes.
And it's really, really, it really, really sucks to waste half of the game standing there with your back to it because you're trying to get the crowd involved and nobody wants to do it. So I would say this. I'd rather have 20 to 30 people who are going to sing every time than have a full section of people who don't sing, straight up. So if you don't want to sing, don't go into the grid. Is that too harsh? Should I not say that?
It's not too harsh at all.
No.
Should I not? I mean, because I don't know. I know maybe some people disagree with me. Like, I just don't feel like it's worth it.
Here's the thing. You want to have everyone on the same page, and if not, then what's the point of being there? It's not so much to push people away, it's more or less to get everyone on the same page.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Maybe.
And for the reason why, with Kempin, was he not affected?
No, he was
eventually,
hugely affected.
We can affect the game.
We pumped him up for so long that he just couldn't keep it up.
We can affect the game, okay? Like, people don't
think
that.
That last goal, he should have been able to have that. Yeah. I saw him make better saves throughout the whole game.
Well, it's
and
not
then
even
all of a sudden he lets that one go in.
It was.
It's not even that, but when
I
we're
know,
all sitting there yelling
the same,
his name,
he got wrong-footed. He got wrong-footed.
Like got
but at the same time, it's just like it was.
He got lulled to sleep.
When
yep.
When we're sitting there
eventually
behind his goal,
he just kind of like
just yelling at like, when we're yelling at his back, he's hearing us and he's kicking it straight out of bounds.
Yeah,
When and all of a sudden we all start chanting. So, okay, so we left Oklahoma City and it was a little windy that day. All of a sudden the chant comes up. It's like, you must have forgot the wind or something along that. Like, well, it had to have gotten to him because he did it multiple times, 3-4 times, and he never could correct it until very late. And then finally he's like, oh, okay, this is what's going on, maybe. And by that point, we were already 1-0 up.
Yeah, it got into his head.
It had to have. Yeah. And I don't talk to him one-on-one or anything at all, but I guarantee you, for something like that, he hears us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And knows that, okay, they're obviously on my back, like, I can't, like, not so much let them down. He's on the opposing team, but he knows that what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, those were pointed chants, and they had their place. You know, it's so tough. There's a lot of reasons why we're not doing it anymore, but, you know, there's a time and place for chants, and you use them to benefit your team. You don't have to do it every 5 seconds. You do it to benefit your team. That's why we have chants that are specifically for certain times that our team is doing something, whether it be a free kick that's dangerous or a corner kick. We do chants then. We do chants when the team comes out. We do chants when the team leaves. We don't do it all the time.
If there happens to be a lull in play, then it most likely is more that it's to a natural lull. Mm-hmm. So it's up, like everything's just really slow and nothing is being created at all.
Exactly.
And then once we maybe start seeing something's happening, then maybe, or maybe we can just give the team an extra little boost and be exactly. loud enough that they hear us, that all of a sudden they're going to start pressing forward. They're in the
game. Absolutely. And you know, I hate to compare us to, you know, English supporters groups, but that's what they do. So they don't sing every 5 seconds because then people are done by, like, the 45th minute. They're tired of singing OKC 105 times.
It also helps that the entire stadiums in Premier League get behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm mostly going to say here is we actually have, like, what FC Dallas doesn't really do too terribly much. I think we have great personal chance to the players.
Yeah, no,
they really don't do that.
No, and I can tell you, FCD is very scheduled. They do the certain chance at certain points, and so there's something to be gleaned from that. Is that you can have a structure, so you're not doing something over and over and over again. At the same time, you still have some organic stuff. You know.
Yeah.
You know they. They do. They don't do that. Everything is very structured for them, based on the situation. We don't have to do that.
No.
And I guess it doesn't really matter because we're not doing it.
The
but,
only structured songs I want are "Oh, Win the Greens" when we're first walking out, mm-hmm. and in the 46th minute, I love the fact that we start singing the Oklahoma.
Yeah,
State
I think
song.
That's great. It's because it's unique.
Here's part of the beauty of it. It's because if Tulsa doesn't join in, that makes them real into
commies, GTFO, GTFO.
Yeah, get out of the state if you ain't gonna sing the song.
And you know, even the OKC chant is unique. There's not a chant like it. It's very simple. It's something that fits our team, but we do it 500 times. And when there's a lull in the game, somebody in the crowd leads it. So we do it 550 times. And so if we're going to do capos, let the capos do it. Everybody else shuts up and sings when the capos do. If we're not going to do capos, we can do it organic, but we just have to not do it that way because we get to like the later parts of the game and nobody wants to sing because we've done OKC 20 times already or Owen the Greens 20 times or 20 times, or you know what I'm saying? It's just like there's so many that we do too many times.
We just need a little more communication as far as what chants are being created out there and what maybe so say some a chant comes up and then all of a sudden we all like it, but mm-hmm. we all get to the game and maybe we've celebrated at the tailgate too much and we forget it. But
no way that would ever happen.
But just need a little more communication as far as what chants are being said. It doesn't need, it, And I don't want it to come from the front office. Like, oh, I don't want y'all to give us a chance sheet. Right. We don't want that at all. We want this to be more of our own thing that mm-hmm. everyone needs to learn it organically and just learn it on their own. You'll hear it over time.
I guess for me, if I thought our entire crowd was nailing the chants, the easy chants that we do, I'd be on board with all the brilliant chant ideas we have, like a lot of them. And we have some, like a bunch of different, everybody comes up with great chants. You know, but except think Dave. About this. Is Danny Kay, Danny Kay's a great chant, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many times have we tried that where it was just you and me and Cameron and like our couple of friends? The thing is,
a lot.
We just don't have people who are willing to sing. It's not even just that the chants, you know, like nobody knows the chants. People just aren't willing to sing. And that's my rant. Like, if you're going to be in that section, learn the chants, period, and do them. Or don't.
Right.
Because if we have 30 people in there that sing, that's better than 100 who, and out of the 170 don't. They just stand there with their beers. I don't care about the people. I don't care about the amount of people we have. I care about the people who sing and make an impact on the game, straight up.
Makes it more fun.
It does. So if you are one of those people that just stand in the grid section and don't sing, don't come into the grid. Please.
Yep. So
sorry. So I'm done. I'm done now. That was like way more than a minute.
But that was Daniel's 1 minute rant.
I said one ish. Like, you guys like heard that. I said one ish.
One ish turned into I said like almost 10.
But you guys said stuff too, right?
I almost
too,
fell
right?
asleep at one point. Yeah. I was like,
we did.
Oh, really? You I fell asleep, you asshole? Did you really fall asleep?
A little bit.
Cam was with me. Well, you weren't with me?
So now we are leading into Tyler's 1 minute rant.
Mine is not actually a rant.
I don't know if he has anything.
Here's the thing. Tyler's
too nice.
No.
Yeah, Tyler's too nice.
Here's mine.
He doesn't like to speak.
It's a relief.
Oh, okay. That's still okay, too. I'll time you. Don't go over a minute, dude, because none of us have done that yet.
So he's going to the restroom.
Let me explain first. My goodness. It's essentially a relief of what we would like to do with this and what we plan to do with this. With us stepping down as capos, it's a huge relief on our back because now we get to actually watch the games. We get to actually... Yeah, a technical standpoint.
You have to watch the game, right? How much of the game did we miss? Can you think about it?
65 minutes.
Yeah, we missed probably 65 minutes of a game just sitting there leading chants and.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm bitter.
No, you're right. Though we missed probably about 65 minutes of a 90-minute game just leading chants and pumping up the crowd.
Trying to.
And now we're going to go ahead and focus all of our energy on this. We really want to just kind of have the podcast. We want to kind of make it something into something better. And you know, we can take a bigger load on that now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be easier. It'll be more fun for us.
Tyler loves a bigger load.
Oh,
he
yes,
does.
He
wants to use all his energy FC on the game.
Mm-hmm. I got this right hand. I got this left hand that have been both itching to get in on the action. So, you know, I'm about to no, but really it's actually just a huge form of relief for all of us because maybe hopefully somebody else will take the reins and do a decent job. I mean, we could put in some requests as to who we think would be good.
I vote for Tyler.
I actually have no.
No.
Oh, it's not supposed to be us?
As capo replacements.
Oh, yeah, I vote for Tyler.
So I actually don't. I believe that some people will step up and try and do this. I have no quarrels with nobody doing it, though. Someone is going to step up and potentially do this. However, I also still think that being in the stands, being able to watch the game, we're still going to be able to lead some of these chants. Even without the megaphone, people they're going to hear us next to them, and all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a great one. Let's do this one.
Cam, you're so right, and you know... It's funny that you say that because Kevin Lee, who is a big proponent of that strategy, he was one that helped us.
He did.
Yep.
1 week, and he even believes in that. He believes that it should be organic. The problem is it's been very organic when we weren't leading the chants. So we would let it bleed, and then all of a sudden a chant would just come out of nowhere, and it'd probably be OKC. And we already did OKC like 10 times.
What?
And so we
didn't. Since when?
Nobody.
Surely not.
Surely. Don't call me never Shirley. Do that. And so nobody would stop that. And so then it just became out of control. So maybe you're right, Cam. Maybe we'll have a difference. Maybe in the stance. We'll hopefully. But we've always been a proponent of that since year one. We've always wanted to be organic.
They were thrown into the whole capo situation very last minute of the first game of last season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. We were flattered. You liked us.
Thank you.
They were kind of just given it, and they accepted it. So we should be appreciative of what they did, what they took over, and tried to create with the organization in trying to get things started. And they did a great job.
Wow, Cam, that's like the nicest thing you've ever said. Thank you.
It doesn't happen.
In all seriousness, I love you too, Cam. Gosh.
Anyways, this will be the last thing I say about it.
It was tough, man. It was tough for us. Was it not?
Yeah, it was a little tough. And by a little, I mean it actually kind of became mentally and emotionally draining to the point where I kind of freaked out a little bit. But, you know, in all honesty, I probably wouldn't take it back.
No.
It was an experience that, you know.
We had a good time with it, man. We got
for
to
a
do
while.
It.
And then at least we decided to call it quits when we started getting bored with it.
We almost did with this
podcast, which is the weird thing.
But we have fun with
now,
it, don't
now,
we?
But now we're just like at the point where, hey, you know, why are we stressing ourselves out?
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be a stressful situation.
We tried to do it with the capoing, but that didn't work, at least not for me for the last few games. And I know that was actually stressing out everybody else because I was getting annoyed and you know, kind of catty about it. And
well, there's a lot to it that a lot of folks don't know. They just think we just stand up there and do that. But if that was it, we'd probably still be doing it. But we had a good time, and we're happy to go back into the stands and do our thing and watch the game.
I will get a lot more rowdy.
Very good. We're looking forward to that.
I don't doubt that one bit.
Yeah, no, none of us doubt that.
You guys remember Seattle game number one? I don't.
I just want another rain game.
Anyways, rain. So, yeah, no, perfect.
All right, guys. So, finally, we have some questions from our readers / they don't read us. They listeners.
Listen. Well, can I also say about these questions? Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because we've asked questions millions of times in the past,
mm-hmm.
and we always have really bad luck with it. And then all of a sudden, Cameron goes 30 minutes before we start the podcast. Hey, let's throw out
there
for questions.
We were in the middle of the podcast.
We were in the middle.
30 minutes into it, maybe. I don't know.
And Cam came up with that idea, and it was genius because we got some good questions, actually.
A
couple of good questions.
Where'd you guys come from? What rock have you been under?
Well, these two people always ask us questions. They just happen to be looking at Twitter at the right time, thankfully.
Okay.
So let's start with the first one. Tyler Fredrickson, who was one of our very first listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We love Tyler.
Yes.
And I know they're going to come out and do some stuff with the podcast soon for the energy, but he's a good dude. He asked, what are our thoughts on the KSBI partnership as far as showing the energy games?
I'll speak first. I actually liked the fact that we were able to watch an away game that wasn't on YouTube because we did have someone that tried to pull up the YouTube feed
mm-hmm.
from the USL, and it was just a rainbow color screen, so they weren't able to watch it. However, since we had KSBI, we were able to get a good feed of what was going on. I won't say good. It was decent.
Watchable.
It was watchable. We knew what was going on.
To me.
The fact that we were able to see what was happening was great. However, it was a little blurry. We needed a bigger TV to see what was going on. With that being said, I was glad to have been able to have watched it on a network channel.
Well, and first, let me tell you that we cut the cord a couple months ago because cable TV is freaking expensive. And so KSBI is actually a local channel, so we were able to watch it with our HD antenna, and it was good. But let me also say this. You guys probably saw this as well on the grid page, but USL has started up a new division, which is all about broadcasting games, and they're going to have a bottom line for every USL pro team to broadcast games like this.
Yep.
And that's going to help because we've seen very, very good broadcasts and Die by the Sword broadcasts.
Die by the Sword.
Even our broadcasts last season were god-awful. They were probably the worst in the league, and if I may admit.
Yeah, you're right. And let me say this. Energy have made a very good effort at putting good broadcasts out there. They have energyfc.tv now. They have people in studio. They've really tried to make it better.
It also helps that we have a completed stadium now.
Yes, that,
so
that helps
they have
too.
A broadcast booth yeah. in our stadium, which yeah, we did so not helps. Have last season, so that helps tremendously.
Absolutely. So for, you know, for the little teams that have the bad broadcast to the good teams that have a good broadcast, everybody's going to be brought up to a certain level. So that's really going to help. And besides that, knowing that, I guess you could say, the partnerships that we have with local TV, so a lot of people can see the game.
I love
is,
the local.
Is good. It's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. The team who will not be named doesn't have that. They have a ESPN3 broadcast, which is different. Not everybody can have that. Everybody has KSBI if you have a way to watch local television. That's it.
Yeah.
No cable. Anything and you have KSBI.
If you look at the ESPN3, they're not even really on there.
No, they're not on there very much at all.
I do think this KSBI partnership for this season and maybe for the next couple seasons will be a fantastic asset to the Energy as a whole. And then once the USL figures out what they're going to do with their broadcasting issue or whatnot, then maybe we'll have better quality.
Here's the thing that really picked it up for me was they said they were going to put all the home games on.
Yeah.
And then just recently they said, oh, no, we're going to show the rest of the away games, too, on KSBI. Well, that really just, like, topped it off.
Most people are going to be at the home games.
Exactly.
Listen to
the people who care.
Are going to be at the games themselves.
Some who don't. You're right. But most people.
It will catch a small margin of people that are not wanting to go to the games that will be tuning in. So we'll get those people that are interested. Maybe there's not a whole lot going on a Saturday night on television, which is true because primarily most big TV shows are not going on 7 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. So now they've got this to tune into, especially if they're sports fans and they're not particular interested in soccer. Well, maybe this will then broaden their sports horizon.
Well, and think about it. We're in the West. So think about the teams we play on the far West, Vancouver. I'm looking at your screen right now, and there are three right at the top. Vancouver, Orange County, Sacramento. Who else is LA way on the two. West? LA 2, Seattle 2,
Portland
2. Those are late games.
Arizona.
You know?
Arizona will be at 9:30 on Saturday.
And we're capturing those games now so people can watch them. As before, who knows what we are going
to
get?
We had to watch the YouTube feed, which this is even better.
Who knows what you're going to get from the away feeds? Now we know what we're going to get for those games. That's big time. It really is. And that's a channel that everybody can get.
It is.
So as far as answering the question, I think the relationship is great. Very good.
I completely agree.
I couldn't be happier. Like, have a local channel that actually cares about local issues.
Absolutely.
What it comes down to is a community that is trying to get behind this team or this game in particular. I think it's a fantastic asset for us going forward.
For any of you
that
can't think that local or a local community can't support a local team, look at the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they own their team.
I'm not a huge Packers fan, but at the same time, if you think that the community can't get behind it, then you're wrong.
Also, let me tell you this: for this to succeed in this city, we need to all rally behind one team. So I know we said we were not going to talk about them, but any of you guys who are on the fence, you need to come support the right team. And you need to come get behind this team that is doing everything they can to reach out to the local community. Because a split fan base is never going to work. Green Bay wouldn't work if they had another NFL team in Green Bay. It wouldn't work. So we got to make this work. And so be on the right side of it. But anyways, let's move on to the next question. Sorry.
It's always greener on the other side.
Yeah. Okay, so our friend Marshall Stockdale has a question. It says, what lineup do we expect for the U.S. Open Cup?
And then what offensive subs would we expect in that game?
So that's a very good question. So right now at the level that we're at, we're playing a couple of PDL teams, or we could be playing a couple of different PDL teams. One's from Mississippi and one's from New Orleans. Actually, the Mississippi team is going to play our Energy U23 teams like four times, I think.
Yeah.
Mississippi Brilla, I think, is their name.
We'll see if that's who we do play. We'll see how we stand up against them.
Well, the point is, when we played the soccer, remember Midland Odessa? We played them in U.S. Open Cup before we played FC Dallas.
We didn't play a lot.
So
I don't even think Michael Thomas started.
No. You're right. So to answer
like
that question.
Squad.
Yeah, to answer that question, I think we'll see a lot of different players in our lineup. I think we'll see some definitely the loanies, I think. I think we'll see Colin Bonner. I think we'll maybe not Coy. Coy's been starting, but they want him to get games, so maybe Coy will be out there as well, Coy Kraft. I think we'll see some players we want to see something from. Toth will probably start that game. Yeah, Ty?
I think a big deal about it would be what our schedule looks like. If we've got a very condensed schedule, then, you know, we're going to see a lot more subs. Yeah. If we have a very open schedule, then, you know, we'll see a little bit more of a half squad, maybe more.
Yeah, so you're right. It definitely depends on where we're at in the schedule.
I wouldn't be surprised if any guys like Bonner or Toth were starting. Like, that doesn't shock me one bit.
And, you know, just thinking about our schedule now, where we've only played four games, which is the least in the entire conference. It looks like we're going to have them stacked up.
Yeah, so that might be a very dense schedule timing for us. So we may see not just those two, but we maybe see some guys in the back.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Rideout might start and play pretty much a whole game.
Yeah, we'll definitely see him. It's hard to pinpoint a lineup.
We'll see him, I'm sure of it, but, you know.
It's definitely hard to pinpoint a lineup because –
especially this early, since we don't know what the schedule's going to look
like. Because where we're going to have that extra game against Vancouver, but also just where we're going to be at in the season. So, again, Marshall asked us that question, you know, maybe a couple podcasts from now when we're looking to play him. But it is going to be difficult to figure it out. Like we talked about, it's easily guaranteed that we're going to have some players in there that don't play every game.
Yep.
Yeah. So first round starts May 11th. So we will actually not be recording next week. We should have something out. Second round is May 18th. So maybe we'll have something for that one.
So we'll look at that one because the May 11th game is the prelim. So that New Orleans and Mississippi team are going to play there. Yep. So we'll know by that podcast who we're going to play. Yeah.
We should be a second round team. So we should be able to see who we are playing. And that game will happen May 18th.
Okay.
And from then, June 1st will be the third round. So
that'll be when it gets really interesting because it's going to be regional again, but it's only going to be USL and ASL MLS Cup teams or MLS teams at that point.
With
so.
The exception of if PDL sides keep winning or lower level teams keep winning.
We'll probably end up playing I'm going to be honest. We're probably going to end up playing the team who will not be named.
Yeah, no, I would love it. I would love it. God, it's going to be great.
We will probably end up playing Rio because it's either going to be Rio or Tulsa. One of the two is going to make it to that point.
It is regional at that level.
Yeah.
So we'll see the structure of it. Yeah, we'll see the structure and how the brackets break down as far as the different rounds.
I would say there's probably a 90% chance we're going to play one of those two teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we will keep that question for a later week and then maybe once we find out what's going to happen as far as that goes with the energy, then we can tell you more of what should we expect with the Open Cup as well as the offensive subs.
Well, and I guarantee you this, if we're playing Rio or if we're playing Tulsa, I can guarantee you we're going out with the best lineup we have on the pitch. There's no way we're going to play off on that one. We didn't when we played Tulsa and Tulsa. There's no way in hell we're going to do it against Rio.
I still get giddy about that last Tulsa game in the Open Cup. I still get giddy.
We had a good time, didn't we? Toth's magical strike.
Yep. He's the reason we made a chance.
Hit. It was cheeky.
That good strike time. Was just gorgeous.
All right, well, man, there's a lot to talk about there. We'll know more later, basically, is the answer to that one. So what else do you guys have?
I think we got it.
Cool. So going on. Thanks again to Skinny's for having us out and doing our podcast. Tyler, thanks for coming on.
Always.
Cam, man, thank you for the research.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we had a good time. We'll see you guys a couple weeks from now for episode 6.
Later.
Later.